Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Foodie fans, let's make this a brief one. This week, oh, I'm so happy to finally have him on. My old former co-host of PS I Love Hoffman, Brian Rodriguez, the current host of High School Slumber Party on the Mothership Network, CageClub.me, the Cage Club Podcast Network. I've actually been on another episode of High School Slumber Party already. That was Orange County. Totally check it out. Fun movie. We both love Jack Black. And we're talking a comedy this week, Coming to America. It's definitely one of Brian's favorites, one of my favorites as well. And, I mean, this is just a fun episode. So, hashtag Zamunda forever.
Oh, we're supposed to have a conversation?
Yeah.
So, Wallace Shawn, My Dinner with Andre.
Well, that was... Thank you for actually changing that. We started watching one film, and we changed it because I think we'll have a lovely episode with our friend John Arden.
Well, we haven't booked him yet. Well,
we have. You haven't booked him yet. Yeah, so. Exactly. We. There used to be a we, and now it is me, and then there is you.
Yes,
but we're back together
we're
today.
We're divorced, but we're back together today. For the kids.
For the children. Yeah, that's, hey, look at that. That's why, good tie-ins. But, foodie fans, I've got Brian Rodriguez here.
Are foodie fans fans of the podcast or anyone who's hungry in general?
Anyone that's hungry in general.
This wow, isn't big. See, that's why this is a genius podcast, because
yeah. You
pretty much have the entire eating population of the world covered.
Yeah.
The only people like...
A little bit bigger than the Philip Seymour Hoffman fans.
A little
for
bit.
Our past podcast.
Just the people in like current famine situations are the ones who probably don't appreciate this podcast.
Yes.
Everyone else does. And no, hunger is a real thing in America.
Well, I mean, hey, your podcast is smart. High School Slumber Party. Most people, again, that's kind of like the level of there being, I guess, hungry people in the world, people that didn't have a high school experience.
Yeah, but I feel like, and this is something that I don't think I've talked about yet, but 99% of the films, I would say, not 99%, but 90-something percent of the films are related to the American high school experience.
Oh, good point.
You know, you're a very international podcast.
Do you even, what's high school called? Do you have like a list of
like
what
secondary
high school's called in different countries?
Secondary school, or like sometimes it's called college.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah. A lot of people for college they say uni.
Yeah. University is just generally what we call college. So it's a little bit different around the world, and there are some other ones. You know, I mean, not to plug this network, cageclub.me, cageclub.me. But for example, on something, maybe I'll do a crossover episode. I'm not sure. I don't know. We got to see what
love
they
say. Crossover episode. Everyone loves.
But
crossover.
Tokyo Drift, they go to high school.
Ah,
so too fast.
Do they eat a lot of food in that movie?
Oh wait,
Joey, when we were at the Cage Club, like family. Well, it was his housewarming.
Yes, but Cage Club family party day two.
Yeah, day two. Joey did point out that the character of Han. He's always eating
chips, or yeah. He's very much like me like that. If there's a food to be eaten,
you are. I mean, that's You're one of my oldest friends. We had a podcast together. You have another podcast on
Hoffman.
The network.
You could still listen to those episodes.
Yes,
way,
listen to P.S. I Love Hoffman.
They're still there. We might do another one.
We'll do special episodes here and there. But you, like, then the next thing, like, you are, I think, well, do you even, this is something I like to ask everybody, do you like the word foodie? And what does the word foodie mean to you?
I mean, I don't care. I don't hate it.
For a long time, I said, I don't like the word. I'm a foodie, but I don't like the word.
Why didn't you like the word?
It was just, well, I don't like labels.
Okay, in that sense, yeah. I don't want, no. Would I consider myself a foodie? No, because I don't really consider myself anything.
Sure.
But it's not a bad word. Well, okay. So you mean, like, is it the perfect word for the definition? No, because everyone eats food.
Yeah.
You know, food connoisseur may be better, but I don't think I'm a food connoisseur. I like good food, but I also like bad food, you know.
So what do you think?
Quote, bad
what do you think most people use the word foodie for?
No, I think most people use. Well, we're in the Instagram hashtag generation. You're one of the biggest hashtaggers I know. So
and it's fun. And I hate it when people first start hashtag.
Oh no, you were against the hashtag.
Yeah.
Now you're Mr. Hashtag.
I am Mr. Hashtag.
I still call it the pound sign.
Well, yeah,
I don't. That's no, but you know, you're all about the hashtag lifestyle now. So if you're going to be hashtag lifestyle, you need terms. And thus you are labeling, because what is a hashtag but a label?
Yeah. Well,
so there you go. I mean,
well, I'm a walking contradiction.
That is very true, too. That's going to be my next podcast. Like to point out your flaws and contradictions.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Kyle. Like the Kyle roast.
I hope people care enough about me someday.
That'd be my dream. If I could theoretically make a living.
Yeah, just point out my flaws.
Pointing out your flaws. I mean, they say do what you love and you never have to work a day in your life.
Yeah.
That would be it. That
tormenting
be
it. Me. But, well, okay, well, building from then, like you said, you do like both, you know, kind of like the finer foods and junk foods. But what was there a moment that food became like much more, I don't know, just more than just eating something to you?
Yeah, definitely when I started going out myself or with my significant others, rather than, I traveled with my family, I did, and we ate food, obviously we had to, but I guess when I started traveling without my family, that's when it started to matter a little bit more, rather than just, like, getting sustenance. Because when you travel abroad, you want to travel the cuisine of different places.
Yeah, you want to have
try it.
You want to try to have like the dish of the area, and even more so, like what the locals are having.
Yeah, and traveling by stomach is a great way to travel. You know, just ugh, so good. So you know, some of my favorite cuisines are foreign, but that doesn't mean I don't appreciate what's here. I guess living in New York too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no offense, people who live in other places, but in certain areas of even this country, if you want to go to Italian food, you have to go to the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of chain stuff.
But you're always family there, so.
You are family, and the atmosphere is great, and I hear the breadsticks.
Yeah, unlimited breadsticks, salad, soup, something with soup, I don't know.
But, you know, you're really, no offense, but you're kind of stupid to go to the Olive Garden in the New York metropolitan area.
Because there's
so many great Italian restaurants. So, in that sense, just, like, trying different places and being an adult and being able to spend my own money. My mother is somebody who likes different kinds of food, but, you know, she's very limited in doing that and really being a foodie. I mean, I think she would consider herself a foodie, but she doesn't, you know, travel like that. And my father is the opposite. Like, my father, I mean, I'm Dominican, but he's obviously Dominican, but he grew up there, and pretty much, his favorite meal is just rice and beans.
Oh.
Very simple.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't even like the in-depth Dominican cuisines. Will he eat other things here and there? Yeah, of course, but that's a rice and beans guy.
What's your favorite Dominican dish?
Ooh, that's tough. It's funny, when you talk to a Dominican person, and I love Dominican food, but they'll act like their food somehow gives you powers. Like, you sick? Eat some more rice and beans, you know? it's always about, it's a hot country, and the food is so hot, it's always fascinated me.
Oh, like hot countries should have cold food. And
you would think, but it's never the case. No, but my favorite Dominican food is, I love Dominican breakfasts. You know, like they have like the fried salami and the mangu, which is plantains mashed.
Oh, the fried salami's come up recently, both in person and you brought it up on Facebook. I saw our friend Anthony.
Well, because I'm a thick salami slicer.
Yes.
And that's why. It comes from that.
Well, now, I mean, you defended yourself already on public on Facebook, but would you like to just point out again? Just it was said recently when we were out on Long Island for the 4th on holiday.
On holiday, yes. On a trip.
You were slicing some salami, pepperoni.
Yeah, some Italian.
It
wasn't.
It was thicker slices.
Yeah, people criticize me for slicing my meat thick, but you know, I grew up thick slicing because you fry the Dominican salami.
So then, yeah, you don't want.
And you don't want a thin slice because it'll disappear.
Well, all the oils.
It'll get ugh, you know. So
if you want thick meat, you go Dominican.
I guess so. But again, like a fried egg on there too, and just, you know, the fried cheese, that's really good. A lot of fried food in the morning, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I also love sancocho, which is like a Dominican stew. Very delicious.
I need to have more Dominican food.
You do. There's a problem in this city and maybe in this country that the Dominican food restaurants are very good, but they're very local. There's not like a... Italian food is always catered to non-Italians, you know?
Yeah.
There's not too many Dominican restaurants that cater to the non-Dominican crowd.
Do you think that comes from just Italians being an earlier era of
immigrants? Yeah, sure. Okay. I'm sure... I think it's you who said it once that one of your non-Italian relatives, like, criticized pizza as not being real food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was my great-grandfather. It was just like...
Anyway, he was Irish or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hated Italians. With a passion.
So you know, I think the culture needs to mature a little. For example, the Cubans have been here a little bit longer and more. They're a little bit more established than the Dominicans, and now Cuban cuisine is becoming a lot more mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it'll happen with Dominican food eventually.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, there needs to be a Dominican food movie. That'll really help it.
That would really help it. Let's start writing it. We have a good track record.
I told you when I got on this podcast, I'm going to be really hungry, and I'm getting really hungry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll try. Maybe we'll, you know, to quote a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie of craving sustenance, maybe we'll get to that sustenance in a bit.
Sounds good to me.
But we're here to talk, and again, we were going to talk one movie, but I think we're gonna revisit this other movie, My Dinner with Andre. Another time, but we decided to go with Coming to America.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, as you mentioned, I have my own show now, High School Slumber Party.
Mm-hmm.
Very much deep in the High School Slumber Party editing and show concepting. So as soon as I started watching My Dinner with Andre, I'm like, we need to frame this differently, you know? Yeah. Me and you would not have the best... I mean, we'd probably have a decent conversation in My Dinner with Andre,
yes.
But it could be better.
Well, the whole thing is with this podcast, I haven't seen... a lot of these movies I'll be covering. It was kind of the exact opposite for Philip Seymour Hoffman movies. And then, I mean, there's just so many high school movies that, yes, you haven't seen them all, but they're just much more popular movies than food movies.
For sure.
And so when it came to My Dinner with Andre, I was like, I read about it, and I watched the trailer, but it looked like it was a movie that the basic story was two friends having dinner and just in-depth conversation, and I was like, who do I do that more with than you? But then when starting to watch it, it's about these guys that work in theater, and one's an actor, one's a director, and one of our closer friends, John Harden, who is a guest. Has he been a guest on High School yet?
Not yet, because he's been doing theater, but I'll get him on soon.
But yes, he was on our podcast.
I mean, by the time this comes out, I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe he will be.
So again, we're going to save that for another day. But this is Coming to America. One of your, I mean, what did you say to me? How many times do you think you've seen
this? Oh, I've seen this movie a lot. A lot. It used to be on TV a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to America, one of my favorite comedies, for sure.
It's one of the best comedies.
Not going to Rotten Tomatoes, 67%.
Whoa.
Which I think is way too low for this movie, but... Love Coming to America. I'm a Queens guy, born there. I mean, I grew up in Jersey, but I went to St. John's. Love Queens. I'm a big Queens guy.
Directed by John Landis.
John Landis.
My favorite comedic directors. Blues Brothers, An American Werewolf in London. Sure, that's a horror movie, but it's got some good comedic
One of Michael Manzi, host of Third Time's a Charms, favorite directors.
Yes. Animal House, Trading Places, another Eddie Murphy movie. Spies Like Us, Three Amigos.
Oh. I love me some Martin Short.
Yes. But this film, It's not okay. I'm holding my hands up right now. It's not a foodie film, but it falls into what I like to consider the category of the main character is working in a food establishment.
Yeah, no, okay. Like, foodie films might not be the best title if you want to consider it films about, like, food snobbery. This isn't it, but this is certainly a food film, I would say. Like, it's not 100% a food film, but it's, like you said, the character works at a fast food place, McDowell's. And to me, that's enough, because it's not like they happen to work there. There's lots of scenes at McDowell's.
Yes. And, I mean, this film, the cast is awesome. It's, again, Eddie Murphy plays Prince Hakim, and then you've got James Earl Jones playing the king, his father. Arsenio Hall is playing his best friend, his bodyguard, Semi. And then you've got John Amos, that's another big name he plays, Cleo McDowell.
And John Amos, former Kunta Kinte.
Former Kunta Kinte.
End of Good Times.
They make a reference to Kunta
in
this movie. And then I'll say Louis Anderson, because he plays Maurice, another worker of McDowell's. I'm really bummed that McDowell's isn't a real place. That we couldn't... What street is that?
Queens Boulevard.
And they have... Right, there's just so many...
I think they... It's not there anymore, but it was a Wendy's, like, before and after they shot it.
Yeah, I think they tore it down in, like, 2013 or something.
Yeah,
like
it was somewhat recently, but it was a very famous Wendy's. I remember, because we were talking about it, I remember actually going to that Wendy's once.
Really?
Yeah, because... So, I... It was college at some point, or late college, because I went out drinking... Not too much, because I was driving, just FYI. But driving back from the city, and you know, I mean, you still do this, but you're a college man, you don't want to pay the toll sometimes, so you go over the Queensboro Bridge.
Yeah.
So, going over the Queensboro Bridge, it was like 4 a.m. I don't think I could stay out partying to that time anymore.
No, yeah.
But I was so hungry, and you know when it's like, 4 a.m. is not a time that you really should be eating.
No, just like any. That's I mean, any time like right before bed, but that's 4 a.m.
But I was driving back from the city with one of my good friends, and so hungry, and we passed that Wendy's, and I guess it was 24 hours, and that's when the Baconator came out.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm gonna try this the Baconator, and
at 4 a.m.
4 a.m. like
Queens Boulevard,
got the Baconator, ate it in the car. What a mistake. Now, the Baconator was delicious. Don't get me wrong, Wendy's. But just, like, going to bed after eating a Baconator at, like, 4 a.m.,
Would you have preferred the Mick?
The Big Mick?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the Big Mick, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't had a Big Mac in a while, and they're very, very similar, as you find out in this movie.
Yeah, well, everything is the same except in the Big... Big Mick doesn't have sesame seeds.
Yeah. My bun doesn't have seeds.
My bun doesn't have seeds. Well, yeah, you know what, let's play that clip.
Look, me and the McDonald's people, we got this little misunderstanding. See, they're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. They got the golden arches. Mine is the golden arcs. Now see, they got the Big Mac, I got the Big Mick. We both got 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, and onions. But they use a sesame seed bun. My buns have no seeds.
Yeah, so basically McDowell's is a knockoff of McDonald's.
Yeah, it's not, and they're always threatening to sue him. And...
There's one scene where he's even reading the operating manual of McDonald's. But his last name is McDowell's. I was thinking, like, how did he come up with that concept? Not like, I think he, like, bought an old McDonald's.
Yeah.
And was like, you know what? Or maybe it was even a McDonald's at one point, and he's like, I don't want to pay the franchise fee.
Yeah.
I want to be McDonald's.
No golden arches, golden arcs.
Yeah, I love it.
There was a pop-up I saw, because I got when we decided to go with Coming to America, I'm just like, oh, wait, I feel like I saw someone post something a while ago, and they had a pop-up in L.A. on, like, Halloween.
That's stupid. Have it in New York. Have it in Queens.
Right?
This is, like I said, I love Queens. This is one of the iconic Queens films. Does it paint Queens in a great light? No, but it was 1988, whatever. Yeah. I was just born. I hadn't revitalized Queens yet. No, I'm joking. But, I mean, it's a great Queens movie, and Queens is such an overlooked borough. Mm-hmm. I've told you, I want to, like, either write a book or do a documentary or do a film on like the history of Queens, great music history we discussed, but topical your podcast, the food in Queens is amazing. You can get food from any culture in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the best, probably Korean food, I don't know, but some that could possibly only rival Korea in Flushing. You know, Jackson Heights, Indian food and just general foods of like Asia or South America. And we know this even from our time just hanging out, like in Astoria, how much it's been
great brunch spots.
Booming. Yeah, brunch spots. And I'm going to go on the record here. The burger at Sweet Afton is one of the most underrated burgers in the city.
The burger at Sweet Afton.
Yes, that's a delicious burger. And the guy, I think the chef or the owner of Sweet Afton has a new place, the Bonnie. Not to promote things here, but I like that place too. Because good cocktails as well.
There was that one day we went around. And
yeah, cocktailing.
Yeah.
We went, a tiki bar, a modernist tiki bar, I suppose.
Yes.
Queen's Comfort, you know.
Queen's Comfort.
A great place.
We haven't, have you been back since they moved?
No, not to the new location, so we'll have to see. You know, it looks like it lost a little bit of the charm, but mm-hmm. I don't want to diss it there. Queen's Comfort, I love Queen's Comfort, so hopefully it's still the same.
Yes.
It just used to be more of like a hipster spot. And then,
yeah, like eclectic looking. Now it's just like clean.
Yeah, it's very clean, but you know, they'll probably dirty it up. And then again, it is a drink podcast as well.
Yes.
But is it cocktails or is it beer too? Or like wine counts, right?
Yeah, wine, okay. Beer, cocktails.
Because
yeah.
The beer scene in Queens.
Libations.
Is amazing, the beer scene. I mean, all the breweries of Long Island City or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I love Big Alice.
Big Alice, yeah, or Single Cut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So to have this kind of Queens movie, before like the Queens Renaissance, but still, it was always something that I connected with. Oh, and they go to a St. John's basketball game. Like I said, I went to St. John's.
You went to St. John's, yeah.
You ever see a movie and you're like, oh, all these things.
This is
like,
meant for me.
Yeah.
Or did they mold you into the person that you are?
Yeah, I went to St. John's because I saw Coming to America as a kid.
Yeah,
I'm like, right? That's why I'm going
there.
No.
They're playing in the Garden.
Yep.
And you've always wanted to square Martin.
I always want to square Martin.
I always dream to square Martin.
Sorry, Jackie Chan, Rush Hour, 2 outtakes. A common theme in podcasts we do for some reason.
So they need to have this pop-up happen in New York.
Yeah, that was the point.
That was the point, right?
No, they need to have this pop-up in New York. I don't understand. I would have gone.
They had... So I mean, because we only learn about the Big Mick, you know, from the menu. But at this pop-up, they also had, and I don't necessarily like this because then it makes it more like it should be Coming to America, the restaurant, versus a McDowell's restaurant. But they had Zamunda fries.
Okay, yeah. That,
and then they
that
had
sense.
And then they had a sexual chocolate. sexual chocolate milkshake.
Oh, they did have milkshakes in the film, but it wasn't a sexual chocolate milkshake.
Hmm.
But yeah, see, that's more Coming to America.
Because Daryl likes strawberry the most.
Yes. Yes. Like, it's thrown on.
But yeah, Zamunda fries, like, that's not... I guess maybe McDowell's had Zamunda fries after Lisa.
Yeah, maybe they become, you know... Yeah, well, I don't think that Akeem would, like, be running the McDowell's thing.
No, but just because now that Cleo is... Related
in the royal family,
by marriage.
Let's make Zamunda fries.
Let's capitalize. He seems like a guy that capitalizes on things. That's the one with the characters in this film. Well, I mean, we watched it right before this, and you said you didn't like how Lisa was like, what does she do at the end? She's like, nah.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's like, we could all give this up right now.
Yeah.
He's like, nah.
And then Cleo also finds out that you know he like. That Hakeem is a prince.
Yeah.
And it's not like he fully accepted Hakeem before. It would have been fine if he accepted Hakeem too. Or Akeem, sorry. Do I see
Akeem, saying? Yeah. No, yeah. It's not Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah. but yeah, so he finds the character arcs aren't necessarily the most, they don't become the better people, per se.
No, that's what I like about the film. Like, does it have like some good lessons? Yes, but they're still human beings.
Yeah.
You know? But I give you that aha look because that Wedding Crashers also ends. While watching it, we were seeing the similarities with Wedding Crashers. But it kind of ends in like a, not a carriage scene, but like an after wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of like a talk like that.
Like,
I'm going to give it up. No, let's, you know, Wedding Crashers.
No, we're
going to
be,
you know.
What are they going to be? A
rodeo something?
Rodeo band?
Oh, no.
No,
folk singing band from Salt Lake City. Weird. Regardless, this movie parallels Wedding Crashers a lot, but this is not a wedding podcast.
No, this is a food podcast.
This is a food podcast, so.
But there's not, I mean, there's not, besides it being at McDowell's and there being the Big Mick and the milkshakes that they had.
My milkshake brings all the boys. Do you have a lot of milkshake films?
Do I have a lot of milkshake films? I don't know.
I don't think there are too many.
Not too many. There's milkshake scenes.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that later. We're going to do, as usual, the picking out of a random food scene. But the meals in Zamunda, they focused on that a little bit in the beginning. It's just there.
Yeah. I mean, if you want
to... Pretty extravagant.
Zamunda is the Wakanda, right?
Yeah.
Of the
OG.
The OG Wakanda.
Yeah. Zamunda forever. Awesome.
Zamunda forever. You know what? I'm going to write that right now. You should
T-shirt.
Tag it. No, you should tag it recording this podcast.
All right, new hashtag.
Hashtag Zamunda forever. Zamunda's awesome.
Do I do a number four for Eva?
I don't know. What is the hashtag for Wakanda forever?
Oh, yeah, probably the word because they're classy.
Yes. I mean, Zamunda's classy too.
Yeah. No,
it's kind of like a better Swaziland. It's this like beautiful kingdom. And I think, I don't know if you said it was nominated for an Oscar, this film or something?
Yeah, costumes and makeup.
The set design in this film and the costumes are so on point for a comedy.
Yeah.
That's just legendary.
And you also saw, how much did this? This made like 288?
280 something million dollars, yeah.
In the 80s. And
well, Eddie Murphy was on fire.
Yeah.
But he also kills it in this film. Like, just multiple roles.
There's so many great movies of the 80s. Again, Trading Places, 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
The 90s is when he had hits in the 90s, but these are the ones that stand the test of time.
Yeah, we mentioned it before we recorded, but a film like The Nutty Professor did incredibly well. It was like really talked about, but I tried watching it maybe like a couple years ago, and it does not
age.
This movie aged well.
Yeah.
Like, this movie stands the test of time in my mind.
Well, I was watching Eddie Murphy Raw recently, and that now is just like, it's like,
is that the one with, like, that's really homophobic?
Very homophobic.
Like, it's very cringeworthy.
Yeah. And so his stand-up, not so much. And while, yes, like, you'll still laugh, but it's all, but it's, you just, your body tenses up. And but this film's surprisingly, like, this film, like you said, just holds up incredibly well.
Holds up, 100%. I think, like, if it came out today, it would probably have a better Rotten Tomatoes rating even than. Like, it's not, it's dated in a sense that, like, yeah, it's, you know, Queens isn't as bad as they depict it, but that's maybe the only thing it's dated in.
The writing was so strong. Like, there was
very
a reason
strong.
For everything.
Very strong. Any kind of, like, little... And, you know, when we watch films, we'll nitpick. And any kind of little nitpick was solved by something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it... You know, there was one or two things, but, like...
Yeah, the one... The mop with the, you know, when they're... When
Samuel L. Jackson cameo in this. But it wasn't really a cameo at the time. It was just, like, a young actor with the job, because I think it's one of his first film roles.
It was, yeah, and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. In the barber chair. They're not really touching his hair. Those barbers...
And this is those barbers, those characters, and it was the first time that Eddie Murphy plays multiple roles in the movie. What do you think the level of, like, mind blown of audiences were at the time?
Well, I don't know if you asked this question on your podcast, because as of right now, it's not.
No,
it
hasn't,
so I don't know.
Recording ahead of time.
But I always ask my guests, and we did on Hoffman, like, when was the first time you saw this film? And I think back to the first times I saw this film, and it was always on TV. And I was a kid, so it was like a cleaner version, because this movie, like, says the F word a lot.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But
yeah, I remember watching this on, like, WB 11 a lot.
It used to be on TNT a lot, or, like, or TBS, maybe, because that's the comedy one. I don't know if it was at the time. But I remember, as a kid, my mind blown. Like, that's not Eddie Murphy. That's a white Jewish man.
Yeah, that's an old white Jewish man.
Like, that's... And I could... My
a very good old white Jewish voice.
My parents or my uncle, whoever I was watching it with, would always be like, no, you know, that... One of them's Eddie Murphy, one of them's Arsenio Hall. And I was like, that is so crazy. Mm-hmm. And it still is today. I can tell because I know.
Yeah.
But...
Joe Louis.
Yeah. If you... Even now, if we show this movie to somebody right now, they wouldn't be like, oh my God, it's Eddie Murphy. They'd be like, is that Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Like, because you kind of see the thing. Like, from Arsenio Hall plays the Reverend, Reverend Brown.
Yeah.
And it's just one particularly scene I'm thinking of. And Eddie Murphy plays the singer.
The singer, yeah.
I forgot his name. You know. To my dignity. Yeah. Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate,
singer,
yeah.
The lead singer of Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah.
Be called the great ass. Love of all inside of me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sexual Chocolate.
Just such great characters. Yeah. Better than his characters he did in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever, Klump, Professor Klump. He was, like, funny at the time. Haha, because he was fat, you know?
Yeah.
It was, like, these are, like...
Yeah, the family dinners where they're just like...
Yeah, like,
Hercules, Hercules,
yeah.
Hercules.
That, like, this is... These are, like... You could tell what these characters' backstories are. Mm-hmm. Like, these little...
Well, I think he's even doing, like, more acting in these... character roles.
For sure. Like, yeah. The gimmick isn't that just, like I said, they're fat, you know, that's not the, it's just, like, the singer, lead singer for Sexual Chocolate, he's such a burnout, you know, like, mm-hmm. Like, he's totally, like, is one of these guys, he thought he was gonna be famous, and he's got a little bit of local celebrity in Raymond. I forgot, like, what TV show he guest starred. He's like, Joe the Policeman in some, like, that's my mama.
At him as the, you know, old barber's like, you gotta find a nice, you wanna find a nice girl, you don't go to no bars.
Yeah.
You go to, you know, you go to church. Nice church going folk. But that's actually, you know what, this is because we were like, okay, that's kind of a food scene, that's a food scene. There's a bar scene in this movie.
Yeah.
And that is, and we were laughing because it's like, they've looked everywhere for a wife in one bar.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, obviously the premise is that Eddie Murphy is looking for his queen Queens.
In Queens.
Which I like that.
That's just perfect.
I like it because it's something, oh, that's stupid, that's silly, but the way it's handled is like...
Yeah. You want to go to L.A. or New York? They flip a coin. New York. Where are we going to go in New York to find a queen for a king? On the map. There's a place called Queens.
Queens, you know? Yeah. Like, because they're winging it. Also, it's his 21st birthday.
Yeah.
He looks way older than 21 here, but okay. But it's his 21st birthday. I mean, that's a rich 21-year-old is probably going to make impulsive decisions like that.
Yeah.
This is before the internet.
Sure.
And... It's obviously as the arranged marriage, but mm-hmm. comes to New York and he's looking for a woman, and like what, just exactly what you said. It's like, oh, I guess so. That's like one of the flaws. Like, oh, we looked everywhere for a woman, but the only scene is them in that one bar.
Yeah.
I guess we could
a great seen. Montage.
Yes,
and this was
classic.
I forget who I was talking with recently, but the 80s were such a time for twins. So there's like two different sets of twins.
The 90s too. Remember that like gross? I think it's gross now, but like. It would never be made before, but there was like a Bud Light commercial with twins. And twins.
Oh, yeah.
Love, football on TV, shots of Gina Lee, hanging with my friends, and twins. I love burritos at 4 a.m., parties that never end, dogs that love cats, and twins.
What a, like, misogynist commercial right now.
And kind of
like, are we supposed to be like, yeah, I'm going to have sex with two sisters?
Yeah.
That's like twincest, I believe.
Yeah.
Taboo.
It's, I mean, yeah, the real fucked up part of that is like, then the sisters.
No, not you. Not but, I don't know, there's like, there used to be a bigger twin fetish, but again, like, you don't make commercials like that anymore.
No.
Like, in terms of, like, yeah, check out this hot girl, you
know? They don't make commercials like that anymore? They don't make bars like that bar anymore?
No.
The like, neon colors.
They're, like, 80s, like, house or trap, I don't know. Like.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, like, bright with neons and just, like, the big dance floor. Maybe they do exist and we just don't go to
places
like that.
Maybe we don't frequent them as much.
But, I mean, it's not like they get into drinks there. But that was definitely a blast from the past as far as bars go.
Yeah, and you mentioned the great montage there.
Yeah, of all the women coming.
Including Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall. His face is in this movie.
And again, like, I'm not a big fan of the gimmick of, like, oh, it's hilarious, it's a man dressed as a woman. But that's not the gimmick here. Like, the woman he's playing is not, like, it's funny because it's... I mean, it's funny because it's Arsenio Hall, yes.
Yeah.
But they play multiple characters, just like, I want to tear you apart.
Yeah.
And your friend, too. Oh, that's great.
I mean, other foods, it's funny. It's like I'm reaching for it. But the hors d'oeuvre scene towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, just... if you want to go for all the food scenes, then we could jump to the end there. I mean, it's just simple. You know, they're over his house, and yeah. He has, like, the pigs in the blanket. And he's, what does he say? He's like, they're the frozen kind. But you couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell. offering, I would love to offer... James Earl Jones, Pigs in the Blanket sometimes.
I mean, you should. I didn't want to step on your feet because I know you're Mr. IMDb trivia fact, but yeah. One of my favorite trivia of this film is James Earl Jones, who plays Akeem's father.
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name who plays the mother?
I didn't write it down. I apologize.
Darn.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Bad hosting skills of mine. Madge Sinclair.
So she plays Akeem's mom.
Yes.
Same exact Mufasa and whatever Mufasa's.
Sarabi.
Sarabi.
I know that because of Scar. Sarabi!
So Simba's parents are also Akeem's mm-hmm. parents because they voice the characters.
And yeah.
Makes so much sense. He's
wearing a lion on him at the end.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like Lion King parents. Oh, you pointed out something too while we were watching. Speaking of James Earl Jones,
yeah,
another iconic voice role of his. That there's an exact Darth Vader line in this.
Yeah, what is it like?
Like, don't alert them to my presence.
To my presence, I'll take care of it myself.
Yeah,
I think he says it in both Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Great.
Which Return of the Jedi
Easter
will
egg.
Be on Third Time's a Charm, which I guessed it on. So check that out.
Whenever that comes out someday.
Yeah, foodie films.
I'm like,
films.
What? I guess the feast at the
end? Feast at the Ewok feast? Or,
yeah, like so human.
Do you think Blue Milk? That's a food scene that I can randomly write down someday.
And them on the Ewoks being cannibals. We could have a whole debate on that, whether they do eat humans or not.
Yeah.
They're not cannibals because they're not human, but they are human.
No, but they decapitated.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then we could debate which Ewok song is better. I know, a pet peeve of yours.
No. Dum dum. Da 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 da. Yup yup da 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 da.
Oh man.
The one other McDowell scene that I thought this was pretty funny. Well, it's that I wanted to play. It's with Louis Anderson, and he has like his little, like his largest speaking role of the movie, where he says to him about, you know, we'll play it.
Hello,
hi.
You know, I started on cleanup just like you guys, but now, see, I'm washing lettuce. Soon I'll be on fries, then the grill. A year or two, I make assistant manager. And that's where the big bucks start rolling in.
Just 2 years, eh?
So with he's cleaning the lettuce, and then he sees that they're mopping, and he, you know, says that he started out at doing, you know, mopping, yeah, and then now he's on lettuce, and hopefully he'll be on fries. I read that in 2005, Kanye's Gold Digger, he included that part of the movie in the line of,
he got that ambition, baby. Look at his ass. This week he mopping floors. Next week is the fries. So
he got that ambition, baby. Look in his eyes. This week he mopping floors. Next week it's the fries.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's
how
great.
Awesome is that?
That's great. See, that's why I hate Kanye West as a person. I do.
Yeah,
but he is a genius. And every time a Kanye, it's true. And every time a Kanye album comes out...
And that's why he should be part of Trump's cabinet.
No. Every time a Kanye album comes out, and I'm not a big hip-hop guy, I'm like, this sucks, I hate this. But then 5 years later, I listen back, I'm like, all the music today sounds like this album.
Yeah.
Like, he is a lyrical genius. He knows what he's doing.
Well, hip-hop music in general is great with pop culture references. But the fact that he has a line that's, like, about Louis Anderson's character...
That's like... Like, again, I mean, I want to hate you more, Kanye West. I do. And then you blow my mind with
but
these
God
things.
But goddammit, do I respect you for at least that.
For stuff like that. No, it always happens. So, McDonald's. I got a question for you. McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I slum it up, I feel like, with food more than you. You know, because I don't...
I feel like you tend to be on the rush more than I. You know, like, on
yeah,
the
okay,
move.
Fair,
on the move.
Fair. On the go.
Yeah,
so.
On the go. On the did I say on the rush?
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
So I know you don't frequent McDonald's.
No.
Well, side tangent. The whole New York thing. I'll bring it up again. if you want to call me a New York snob, fine. But I feel like it's very, not in every neighborhood, but in certain neighborhoods, it's very silly to eat McDonald's when you could get a burger for the same price that's much, sorry, McDonald's, but much better, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even, like, Shake Shack or Five Guys is not that different in price of McDonald's.
No, not crazy.
No, it's, like, yeah. $2 or $3 mm-hmm. more, if you like, for a simple burger. You know, if you wanted all the additions on it, it's a different story. And so it's kind of rather silly for me to get McDonald's, except that it's fast. You know, it's literally, you're going to get it quicker.
Yeah, you're going to get it within, like, 2 minutes.
But what is your, you know, by the way, European McDonald's, much better. I was going to say, what was the last time, you know, you really ate McDonald's recently?
That's tough. Probably abroad somewhere.
Yeah, no, because I remember being in Cologne in Germany with some friends, and everything had closed. It was like a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find a place to eat, and we were like in the kind of the more like by the big cathedral, so it was just you could still drink, but you couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
But the McDonald's was open. And we went in there and we got so much McDonald's food. And again, in Europe, the McDonald's just tastes so better. I don't know if it's EU standards or what. It's true. And the guy behind the counter, this like he was like a bigger German guy, was so happy.
That Americans
were in there.
That's awesome.
Like, you have to pay for condiments extra. Yeah. And he was giving us like free mayo. And he's
wow.
Like, what would you like on the menu? Oh, that's a very delicious choice. You know, like it was like such an experience for me. He like watched us eat it. Like, because think of it. If you work at McDonald's and you see Americans come in, that's like if you work at, I don't know, Panda Express and like Chinese people come in and like are enjoying the Panda Express food. Like,
yeah.
Like, wow, this is, you know, what an experience.
Well, they always say like if you see the, you know, people of the culture eating in the restaurant, like, you know that that's the good Chinese
it's
place.
It's
true. I remember going to McDonald's. I was driving from Hamburg to...
appropriate.
to Berlin. And I was just also really tired, but I saw there was a rest stop with McDonald's, and I had McDonald's there. And then I remember...
The McDrive.
Then I remember texting you when... Because you traveled much more than me before I really started traveling. But then when I was in Barcelona, I said, oh, I found this really good, like, Irish-American tapas place.
I was like, what? Oh.
But hilarious. I mean, all of this talk of burgers, I want one. Do you want to put this on hold for a second and go grab a
really?
We can't grab the Big Mick, but I guess we'll get the one with the sesame seeds on it.
Well, I haven't had a Big Mac in ages.
So we're driving on Queens Boulevard right now, and I'm using a handheld, like it's a Zoom mic in the cell phone. If it sounds a little different, maybe it sounds better. I don't know. But yeah, we're driving down Queens Boulevard. This is your old stomping grounds, right?
Oh yeah, no, totally. Well, I guess, you know, that's that diner, the Peach Diner, or the Georgia Diner. I went there in college a couple times. But I wouldn't call it like my old stomping ground.
Like, well, how far is St. John's from here?
Not terribly far, you know. I mean, again, being a Queens, partial Queens guy, I had to recognize the area. I mean, it just changed so much, as anything does over the years.
Yeah, we're just passing by, actually, where the GPS said that that McDowell's were that, what, and then it was a Wendy's, right?
I think it was a Wendy's, because I remember in college going there because it was McDowell's, whatever fast food it was, just for fun. But now it looks, seems like they built, like, a housing complex on top.
Yeah, that's. I wish they had like almost like a just a McDowell sign there, but maybe then people would get confused because it does look similar to McDonald's,
which is the whole the whole crux of the film. It's funny, right? I mean, I wish they preserved film history like they did other kinds of history. At least put a plaque there or something.
I like that. Yeah, a plaque or some kind of like mural or.
Oh, that'd be cool. A mural. Eddie Murphy should pay. From his money, from his pocket. Eddie Murphy, I'm telling you how to spend your money and make a Coming to America mural there.
I agree. And then, we're still heading down Queens Boulevard, and we see the golden, not the golden...
We see the golden arches.
Yeah.
Not the golden arcs,
yeah,
unfortunately.
The golden, that's just such a bad, like, arcs versus arches. And so, what do you think? Should we do the drive through?
I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's get some some Big Macs with the seeds, with the sesame seeds, and
my bun has no seeds.
Yeah. Can you ask? You know how like it's like at one point they were like, "What you want is what you get" at McDonald's, like in the 90s.
Yeah.
Could I ask for a seedless bun at McDonald's? I'm not going to because I'm too afraid, but I'm just curious.
I don't know. But I'm going to ask. Do you offer a seedless bun option?
I like seeds on my buns.
Oh, wait, but they don't have seeds on their Whopper. No, not Whopper.
They don't have Whoppers.
I'm sorry, Quarter Pounders.
I don't.
So I think that they would offer that. Hi, may I order two number one meals? Do you offer the Big Mac with seedless buns?
The what?
Can you make a Big Mac with seedless buns like you do for the Quarter Pounders? No seeds?
Oh, the regular bun.
Yeah, regular bun, yeah.
Okay. Give me one. You want a meal, right?
Yeah, can we get one without seeds, one with seeds?
What kind of drink?
One with a Coke and one with a sweet tea.
Okay.
And we can get medium-sized fries with them.
Anything else?
That'll be it.
1958, the next one.
Great, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So there we go.
That was fun. Can we put this on the Cage Club Network tab?
Yeah, Joey, Mike, can we?
Joey and Mike need to give us, like, black cards, Cage Club black cards, so that, you know, we can deduct it in the expenses.
Yeah. We need to start making the, a profit for the network, or just any kind of...
Yeah, we'll probably lose money with that card, but all my good memories from McDonald's are from childhood. Like, going to McDonald's, at least for me, was like a treat.
It was a treat.
You know, it was like...
There was... By us, there was one in... I would always go to the one in Northvale, and then they opened up one in Bi-State Plaza in Old Tappan.
Yeah, that's the one I would go to. Even when I lived in Rivervale, that's the one we would go to. That was like... It was like... And, you know, getting a Happy Meal was cool.
I used to collect the toys. Like, they had a cool, like, business deal with Disney.
And didn't you feel older the first time you got, like, a Quarter Pounder or a Big Mac or something?
It was
a
rite of passage.
It was. But, you know, today, I don't think it's the same. I mean, look, we're in a huge line here, so clearly some people are selling McDonald's. But, like, there's so many, like, parents raising their kids vegan or raising their kids, like, healthier diet. And I don't know if I would bring my kid to McDonald's all the time either.
No,
I wouldn't raise my kid vegan. No offense to vegans, but, you know, I'm not a vegan myself, so why would I do that?
Yeah, but it's just, no, a kid is meant to, like, kids should be able to choose for themselves. And enjoy childhood.
Yes.
And that means...
That doesn't mean childhood obesity.
No.
Which we take very seriously. But it's... Exactly. They should have the range of choices and let them choose.
Called a Happy Meal.
And it made you happy.
It made you happy. Like, that was like, you know, mom, you know, like, didn't want to... It was too late after, like, a Little League game. You stopped at McDonald's.
Did you ever get, like, the girl's toy and then, like, your mother would... go to the front and return it, or did you just keep the girl's toy?
Well, I mean, usually I was with my sisters. Like, it would be like, so, I mean, I think in some cases, that probably we're given, like, both girl toys or both boy toys, and so I'm sure...
You could give it to her, though, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Or switch it up. See, my mom was never the mom who would be like, well, he wants that one, you know, like...
No, but that was the whole thing. They would have, like, this week is that, and that, like, when, especially when they were, like, a collectibles, like, let's say, like, I remember they had, like, Beauty and the Beast toys or something like that, and one week was Lumiere, and the next was Belle, or... but I remember going away, like, we would always do, like, a family vacation in August, and we went away, you know, for a week, and so I missed that toy. And I was like, so... fucking piss.
Like, fuck you, mom.
Yeah. You know what was always like what Burger King always had above McDonald's for a long time though, but now the McDonald's started shifting. Burger King always had the fountain soda you could pour for yourself.
Yes. Now McDonald's has like the cool machine where you could make any.
Yeah, that's like I remember like when Moe's started getting those. That's high my. Tech.
Yeah, Moe's is like a not. Fast food. It is fast food, but not like mainstream fast food, I would say.
Yeah, it's... Oh.
I don't even know if it's around the country.
It is.
It is? Okay. Yeah. And Moe's, they loved you in there. That was your college go-to.
That was my, yeah. That was every, after every Thursday, Friday's my senior year, I had off. I had friends that got out of, had a 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. class, and then they would knock on my window. I lived on the first floor of, like, this one quad, and I would, they would wake me up at 1 p.m. because I'd be up until, you know, 3, 4, 5 a.m. on Thursdays. And then we would go to Moe's, recount the night before's debauchery. And every Tuesday I used to buy, like, a new movie. And so then, but Fridays... Fridays...
what a fun life.
Yeah, and Fridays we would then go back. Everyone would destroy my bathroom. Sorry. And we'd be watching whatever movie, like, was released on, like, DVD or Blu-ray that...
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember because after college, you took me to Moe's up there for whatever, you know, business we had. Yeah. And they all knew your name when you walked in.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Kyle, what have you been up to? I was like...
Yeah, Mia.
That was your cheers.
Yeah, Mia, but... the franchise owner. Yeah, I was Norm. I was the Norm of Moe's.
You're the Norm of Moe's.
Nice. Nice. What are we... You hear that? This is the microphone deep diving into the bag right now. All right, let's pull over and eat this feast.
Are you going to be back here for The Founder?
Maybe I'll try to go to the original one. Ooh. No, that's... Cage Club, this is why we need to have funding. I need to do these food trips. Let's see, I'm going to try to prop this up there. Let's see if that's... If that works...
So, a little update you guys didn't hear, but they were out of my sweet tea, so...
Yeah, I put down the microphone for a second, so...
I got Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, out of sweet tea, out of Sprite. Oh, yeah, but then you were tempted... What was the two? What were you tempted between? Did they put straws?
Some kind of Fanta.
Did they give us no straws?
Maybe they don't do straws anymore. Wait, have straws become illegal? Wasn't that a thing for a while?
That is, yeah, that's like a thing.
Maybe straws are illegal. All right.
Some fries.
Thank you.
We got our ketchups.
So do you want the Big Mac or the Big Mick?
You know, you were my guest. You may have the Big Mick.
Nice. Yeah. And we'll compare one.
Yeah. So let's see which ones. Oh, here. Ooh. I'm sorry. Wait a second. This needs to be, do you have your cell phone?
Yeah.
Because I'm recording on mine.
Okay. Really crappy at food.
Oh, okay. Then I'll take a picture with...
No, I can try.
Oh. All right, well, we are both going to enjoy Big Mix because...
We got a surprise. They give us both Big Mix.
Oh, watch out for the runaway mm-hmm. fry.
A fry film?
Yeah.
I'm like... I'm like Tommy Boy. I'm getting my yeah. fries in your dash. Hold on. Fries in the dash.
Do you...
I got it.
Okay. So we got no straws, but that's fine. We can drink.
No straws, but two Big Micks.
Yeah.
So let's get a photo of this.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, again, we both have Big Micks. They didn't understand the one sesame, one no seeds.
No, but that's fine. We both get to have the Coming to America experience.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
So, all right, let's dig in.
Let's dig in. Yeah. Do we need extra ketchup on it? I'm going to put some...
I haven't had a Big Mac in years, and I've never had a Big Mick, so...
I'm putting extra ketchup on mine.
Fair. It's amazing how thin the patty is.
Yeah, this is... Let's see. Here we go. Oh, I see the Mac sauce.
The mix sauce. I gotta be honest with you. That middle bun is useless to me.
I'm not like a triple decker sandwich kind of guy usually.
I've seen you eat a club sandwich.
I have, but I'm just like, I'm not, you know, that's what they usually offer at like diners, you know. But yeah, the middle bun.
Unless it's the Moist Maker from Friends. And it's going to have gravy, so yeah. Between.
I love a good Moist Maker. Let's see. What? Oh, it's funny. You know, I've been, speaking of sitcoms, I've been binge-watching Cheers. One of the great episodes One of the many great episodes, I should say. And Diane's going on a date to a fancy restaurant and insults Sam, saying, like, he wouldn't be, you know. So he switches out, like, cancels her reservations and then goes as a doctor or whatever. And then you got some tips from Frasier. And he says that he's a doctor, this, like, famous doctor of the Boston area. But then that doctor's known as a gourmet. So I'm led to believe that before the word foodie that is in our, you know, vernacular now, I think gourmet.
Yeah. Well, I think foodie versus gourmet would be foodie people love food trucks and stuff like that. I think a gourmet goes to fancy restaurants and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
That would be the only difference.
Yeah, foodie finds good food, a good meal, in all different venues.
Yeah.
Like, it's a given that in a high-class restaurant, you should get a good meal.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
But a foodie, I think, is a gourmet who's more open-minded.
Gourmet of the people.
Yeah, because I think a gourmet is someone who... there's a truck backing up, so... I think a gourmet is somebody who knows the ingredients and knows what pairs with what, and it's like a foodie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more into the higher end cuisine. So, what do you have thoughts on your Big Mac?
Well, I agree. Well, they put the special sauce on the middle one.
Mm.
So that's, I mean, I guess they're doing a moist maker of their own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the burgers are pitiful. Burger King makes, whether you like the taste more, like, I still, this is tasting good to me. Maybe it's the, I don't know, the reminiscing.
Yeah, the memory.
The nostalgia.
You know what's about McDonald's burgers that, like, hit the spot? And I think fast food burgers in general, they're so salty, but, like, you mm-hmm. know. In a way that hits the spot.
Yeah. I'm going to have the favorite thing, McDonald's fries. But I love McDonald's.
Best fries of the fast food places?
They're my favorite.
Some people say you should go all natural with McDonald's fries. No ketchup.
I'll put them in ketchup. I will put some in ketchup. But I like them, like, fresh out of the fryer. These are pretty good. Not the best ones I've had. I guess their fries are a little inconsistent sometimes.
Well, it depends if you get it, like you said,
clean fresh. Oil or fresh out of the fryer.
Fresh out of the fryer.
Too much salt, maybe.
Hmm. Though, what a treat it is when you think you're done with fries, and then there's some at the bottom of the bag.
It's the best.
It's really like, you know, it's really symbolic for the best things in life, you know, come when you least expect them.
So, Brian, anything as we're munching on our fries, and they gave us... When I asked for a lot of ketchup, they gave us a lot. Haven't yeah. given that. Yeah. No straws, but a lot of ketchup. A
lot of ketchup. I'm just wondering if this is going to come back to haunt me later, you know? I'm not used to eating like this, and like McDonald's. Or I haven't had a Big Mac in a while, and I guess food stamina like I used to in college.
Yeah.
Eat five times a day and be okay. But a little better experience than I thought. You know, I thought it was going to be kind of... I was hungry and I was looking forward to it, but I was a little... Part of me was like a little scared. Again, I haven't had a Big Mac in a long time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I guess when I was... I have one very close to me in Jersey City, but there was one... on, like, Washington Street in Hoboken, and I'd be walking back drunk a lot of nights. So it was either that or Mamoon's.
Mm.
And Mamoon's is delicious, but, I mean, you can only have shawarma.
Yeah, and also you have to, like, wait longer a little bit.
A little bit, but... yeah, so... Well, guys, we're gonna finish up our fries, and we're gonna get back to the episode in the movie. Obviously, this was still about the movie, but...
Little lunch break.
Yeah, know, little...
Or
yeah.
dinner or whatever time.
Take a break and go grab some McDonald's for yourself. And know that you can get a seedless Big Mac.
You can get a literally Big Mick.
You can get a Big Mick. Get a Big Mick.
The Big Mick is available. McDowell's restaurant might not exist. Where the McDonald's was might not be a fast food place anymore. But across the country and the world, you can still get a Big Mick so that the Big Mick lives on.
I want this show to do well so that I can commission a mural.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Coming to America, is there anything else you want to say about it?
Well, I don't think I mentioned this, but one of the endearing things about this film to me is that it's one of my grandfather's favorite films.
Oh, really?
And my grandfather, I mean, he's been in this country since the 60s, probably mm-hmm. I think 1960, you know, but he still doesn't speak perfect English, mm-hmm. you know, so we have a hard time kind of, I don't speak the best Spanish, so we don't connect on too much of a level like that, but for some reason, I remember being in his house and watching this movie, and him just start talking about how much he loved the film, and I was like, what, really?
And you had seen it already.
I had seen it already because it was always on TV.
Okay.
And he was actually like recounting scenes. And I remember him in Spanish recounting to my grandmother like about like some of his favorite scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his favorite scenes is Akeem, where he's like, he's mopping.
Yeah.
And then he's like, if ever you think, you know, and he's trying, Lisa's in the office.
Yeah, Lisa.
And he's trying to like pick up the trash and she doesn't have any. He's like, when you think of garbage, think of Akeem. You know, he really liked that scene. And I think being an immigrant himself, he liked the fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy, if you want to talk about food, you know, came to this country, lived in Lower East Side, that's where my mother grew up, different food neighborhood now, but still good stuff. And he used to commute to Bergenfield.
Oh, wow.
To work at a restaurant. Now it's a Mexican restaurant, but at the time it was an Italian restaurant in the food service industry. Rest in peace, Bourdain said it. Latinos really are the backbone of the food industry in mm-hmm. the United States. I'm not just saying that being a Latino, it's true. Look in the back of every kitchen.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess it has kind of like a... Maybe that's why I overhyped this film. It has kind of like a family mindset to me because like he came to this country and first worked in food service
mm-hmm.
really likes the film. I don't know where he caught it. You know, I guess on TNT as well.
Maybe did he see it in theaters? That'd be amazing.
That would be cool, but I don't know. This is one of the first, like, you know, when DVD players first came out and stuff,
like, yeah, and they had like limited movies transition,
yeah, and this is one of the, like, he was always into like getting the DVD player and having like, you know, the whole setup there.
Yeah.
I remember we bought him this for like Christmas or something or one of the holidays coming to America. And that was the first time I saw the full version, which
was that fun to watch with family?
I actually did not watch it with family. Like I watched it alone like in
his
basement. No, but the big thing there was like one of the opening scenes.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting bathed. Mm-hmm. It's like, the royal penis is washed, sir. And it's just like the topless one. I'm like, yeah. I don't remember this on TV.
Yeah. That's an easy scene to cut out for TV. But
yeah, yeah. And, I mean, other than that, this is just such a great comedy.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have another podcast someday that we can talk this movie again. But this is...
Wink, wink.
I like that's what you said as far as it's a movie that you guys bonded over and then just a movie that maybe he could relate to as an immigrant. Because that's what... I mean, anything in the arts, like, that's just what I feel like... I mean, I've always said, and I'm not a first person to say this, but I think it's just between music... I mean, and this is a podcast that's films, but... Films can be a little tricky, but, like, music, but then food. Like, just people sit down...
Oh, 100%.
...and enjoy a meal, and, like, you can learn a lot about a culture, and just see, like, it's from all the TV cooking shows that you have these chefs that are like, oh, this is just like this from that culture, and this is just, like, we're all the same, and you can appreciate, you know, the diversity from, you know, but at the same time, the unity of it all.
For sure. If we did a podcast coming to America, and even if it's not part of the food thing, and not talked about Soul Glow.
Yes. Is Soul Glow edible? Yeah, no, you have to, that's correct. You talk coming to America.
You have to talk Soul Glow.
Soul Glow.
Drop, I know you're not as big as with the audio drops as I am, but audio drop the Soul Glow.
Well, this is, you know what, this is, maybe when I have guests that have their other podcasts. Maybe I'll adapt the episode to more their...
Joey would like that.
To their type episode. So I've already heard, you know, there's definitely been some moments where I know, like, I'll have put in songs and stuff like that and much more clips of your style, because that's what our conversation is, you know, welcoming. So, Soul Glow, here we go. Just let your soul glow. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul, baby. Feeling oh so silky smooth. Just let it shine through. Yeah. Just let your soul glow. Soul glow.
Nice.
So,
I can't do it.
Soul glow.
Soul glow. But Soul Glow is one of the things that makes this film great, because it's what an inept world here. Daryl, Eric LaSalle, I think his name is.
Yes.
I know him from ER.
From ER.
He plays the boyfriend, and he's only rich because
of his father's.
Yeah, the Soul Empire. Glow Empire, yeah. Which is just Jerry Curl. The Jerry Curl was popular back then, but I love how they mock it. The great scene in the house where the grandma has it.
Yeah, both his parents have it. Yeah.
And there's wet Jerry Curl oils
on the couches. That's great. And then obviously, as well as, like, you know, Akeem going in and wanting that hair.
Oh, the haircut, yeah.
And just, like, so in the barbershop.
Naturally, like Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, Dr. King. And then there's the billboard for it. It's just a great unifying, you know, great world building.
Yeah, I at one point I owned a Soul Glow shirt. Like in college, I thought it was like, you know, and I got so many compliments on that.
That's awesome.
I mean, Soul Glow, it's just it's so cool. This world is so cool. The other scene, again, back to the whole barber guys and the multiple characters.
Mm-hmm.
Their boxing debate is just amazing. If like of all the scenes, that one was like, it's like, his mama call him Clay. I'ma call him Clay. It's like, his name is Muhammad Ali.
This is America with religious freedom. Do you think that movie inspired the movie Barbershop?
I mean, honestly, I mean, no, I think just barbershops in general did.
Yeah, inspired
but
barbershops.
as a white American.
Yes, exactly. Please tell me.
Are you offended by Eddie Murphy's white face in this film?
No, well, no, but I'm also, I'm not Jewish. I'm not a
Well, never says he's Jewish.
Okay.
But I think it's implied.
Yeah, it's implied. So I am not offended, but since I'm not a chosen one, I also, you know, can't speak for them as far as offense. But I know that John Landis was okay with it, because he said, like, oh, this is, like, retribution for all the Jewish comedians doing blackface in the 20s and 30s.
Hey, you know what? Like, that's a good point. That's the whole, like, yeah. Not to get racial.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing where we talk about with, like, Native Americans.
Yeah.
Like, let them... They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oof. No, but, like, yeah, so that's a very good point, John Landis.
Yes.
You know, and I don't... Honestly, the makeup is so good
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't feel like that. And it's a movie where he's playing all sorts of characters.
All... Yeah. And he's... Well, that's... It's a movie that's making fun of everything. Like you said, they're making fun of the Jerry Curl. They're making fun of just even, like, the world of fast food.
Yeah, and this is, like, this is a there's a lot of, Africa versus African-American.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're,
thing
yeah,
in this.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl is, he's constantly...
Daryl's, like, yeah, racist against...
Yeah, against...
Africans.
The continent of Africa.
You know, and again, it's a... John Landis is not black, but Eddie Murphy's obviously... I consider Eddie Murphy equally the filmmaker of this film.
Yeah.
You know, did he write it?
He wrote the story.
Okay, he wrote the story. Yeah. It's definitely like his concepts. It's definitely his comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's could it be considered controversial there? Could that be something that dates it? Maybe. But watching this again, I did not feel that way.
No.
You foodies out there, if you want to comment on Kyle's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever,
all the good stuff,
and watch this and feel like it's offensive, by all means, I'm not going to get on you, and I'm sure you have a great argument. But I did not find I did not find the white face there offensive, and I did not find, you know, this movie was not offensive to me, I'll put it that way.
No.
So, again, we could talk forever about this one, Kyle. So, I mean,
we'll talk about it on our own time. But... Yes. Let's continue talking.
We
about
won't waste any more of your food time because no. I know you prefer talking about food things.
Yes.
On here.
And so that brings up what
I'm not hungry anymore. It's not like you that much.
Well, yeah, the big yeah. Still, I think I have some fries left on my van.
The bottom of the bag fries.
Bottom of the bag.
Those are the best.
This is picking a random scene. I haven't come up with
I was going to say, that's the title you came up with for this segment.
Famous food scene.
Picking a random famous food scene.
Out of my hand. I usually am supposed to have a hat.
And by the way, guys, we're actually picking it.
Yes.
I thought when you first announced this segment, because you did pitch it on, I think it was the American Pie episode of High School Slumber Party, which has a food scene.
I announced this on the final episode of PSL.
Yeah, yeah, no, but you talked about this specific,
This
specific thing. You said you might get a chef's hat or something.
Yes.
And when you said it on, I guess it was part two of American Pie on High School Slumber Party. Mm-hmm. Like, again, there's kind of a food movie, but more of a food scene movie.
Yes.
That
would be a random food scene that maybe...
I was kind of thinking, like, podcast magic here. You might just, like, have pre-picked...
No.
A scene, but no, clearly not.
I mean,
I can attest, guys.
I've got six right here, so like I have six clips. So you know, you'll randomly.
Pick. Yes, I'm actually picking a scene at random, so yes. I have not seen this scene ahead of time. I might have seen it, I might not have.
Yes,
but I'll be picking. Oh, I'm supposed to pick now, or you'd like?
Yes, you'll
out
of my
cold dead hands.
Well, you know, since Coming to America had so many, we said, oh, there's so many high pitch. This is. Famous food scene.
We should have kept the McDonald's bag, and I should have picked it out of that
and
taken a fry instead.
Yeah.
Pretend we did that, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Famous food scene. Okay.
Okay. If you can read my handwriting.
Twins. Nuke it.
Nuke it.
I haven't seen Twins in like 10 years.
I have it on like VHS, but right now we'll cut to this clip, and we'll be watching it as well.
The secret to take out eggplant parmesan is extra cheese. Here we go.
That much cheese?
Oh, yeah. More cheese, the merrier. There you go. Now, I know you're probably used to growing your own vegetables and spearing fish on the lagoon, but here on the mainland, we just nuke it. That's it. There we go. Feast your eyes. Dinner is served.
Yummy.
Through the lips, over the gums.
Look at stomach, here it comes, Tom.
Julius.
Oh, I like nuked food.
Again, we said like that Coming to America was great writing. I don't know if Twins is like great writing, but a great concept. Like,
yeah, again, I'd have to see the whole film to like, because I haven't seen it in so long. Twins is actually referenced recently on High School Slumber Party because Edge of 17, definitely listen to that episode with Joey.
Yes.
In that film, she has an older brother who's like good looking and popular, and like someone sees her at a party like, oh, you're such and such younger sister.
Yeah.
And then they're just talking like, oh, by the way, have you seen the movie Twins? And she's like, yeah, oh, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger are brother and sister. And she's like, yeah, you and your brother kind of remind me of that. So it's just and yeah, obviously it's very
insulting. Need to rewatch that movie. I think I watched a lot of it, but I think I was watching it on a plane and I fell asleep and missed the end.
Yeah, never. Yeah, never.
And I need to listen to your episode of that. But that's kind of perfect that you picked that one, but this is so. I mean, you know, it's a food scene. Maybe it's not a famous food scene,
but it's great.
I mean, the eggplant parm, just micro, you know, nuke it.
Like. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that because I'm lactose intolerant and I love cheese. You know that. But Parmesan cheese is one of like the.
Oh really?
It's one of the most like I rarely get it like on a pasta because
okay.
I love Parmesan cheese.
The more cheese, the better.
Yeah, not for me.
Not for you.
I mean, yes,
yes.
But I like fancy cheeses. We on our sojourn to Long Island, we recently spent a lot of money on cheese.
Yeah,
which we didn't think we would finish.
Cheesemonger, and then we finished in like
that was good cheese.
15 minutes.
Oh, that was good cheese. No, but nuke it. Like that's it's funny because
it's very 90s.
Very 90s and very believe it or not, Jersey. Danny DeVito is a Jersey guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ad-libbed that, because I never said nuke it growing up. Like, that was not something that, like, until I started going to, like, meeting New Jersey kids.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever said, as a very Jersey guy, I don't know if I've ever said nuke it. I know my one aunt says it.
I can think of particular people who literally, if you, they won't say microwave. Not yeah. they won't, like, at, for ethical reasons. Yeah. But just their go-to
I'm offended.
Is like, yeah. Their go-to is like, yeah, I'll just nuke it at home.
Just nuke it.
It seems like...
I've said it. I heard my voice saying it.
It's honestly something that I've never... I've said it literally right now, but it's not... If I'm saying it, I'm imitating somebody. That's not my go-to for a microwave, I don't think.
Yeah.
That, like, just nuke it when you get home.
I feel like I could do a whole episode just on this, because right now, I'm, like, my mind is just, like, the single man's dinner. What... This isn't... I mean, this speed round, we're going to have a bunch of questions, but I'll ask this now, because it's not part... What... Did you have, like, a favorite microwavable meal? Or do you still... I mean, but that was definitely, like, his kids.
Hmm, that's a good question. I'm surprised, because I thought you don't usually like those kind of meals. Or you,
Hungry Man, but what was the kid one that had, like,
kid
the penguins?
Cuisine.
Kid Cuisine, yeah.
I don't like to curse on this podcast, but fuck no? Kid Cuisine.
Oh!
I used to get so mad at Kid Cuisine as a child. Not the dish, delicious dish.
Yeah.
But that's a penguin. That's not a child.
Yeah.
You know, that always bothered me. And I know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, they may, you know, I'm not going to hang out with that penguin just because he's got a backwards hat.
What is this, Chicken Boo? Like, are you saying they're trying to make the penguin a kid?
Yeah. And, you know, he had a backwards hat and like a skateboard. Like, oh, I want to hang out with this penguin.
It was a cool penguin.
Forget that. Fuck Kid Cuisine. But, I mean, I used to like those meals, yeah. Did you properly take, like, the dessert thing out? Because you're supposed to take it out on some of them?
No, I usually left it in.
Yeah, right? And it would form, like, a weird hot gelatinous...
That, honestly, might have been, like, my first... As, like, you know, like, besides my mom possibly giving me, like, a snack that would have, like, created this combination. But me as a kid... recognizing, like, the sweet and savory, because then the mac and cheese would get on top of the brownie, and you have, like, a little bit of cheese and a little bit of chocolate, and you're like, why is this good? This should be horrible.
The
it's yellow and brown.
We're good.
You
know, like, we're one side and over the other side.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had, like, a TV dinner, though, in a very long time.
Yeah.
Like a Hungry Man Salisbury steak.
Salisbury steak. Which always makes me think of, Chet the Rocket from Rookie of the Year, because on the airplane he gets a Salisbury steak.
I feel like it's a big moment growing up, and this is so like 90s though, a big moment growing up when you go from like the Kid Cuisine styles to like the Hungry Man, you know?
Oh yeah, that's the non-Jewish like bar mitzvah. That's
the... there needs to be a restaurant, if there's not already, that replicates TV dinners. But makes them like really good, you know.
Whoa.
It's like served like that.
Yeah,
like you know, like and you tray. Take the, and you take the plastic off.
Yeah, like right. Yeah, right before they bring it out, they put some wrap off.
Come on, they
can
do that. They make like you know cuisine you could sniff.
Yeah,
like molecular gastronomy. You know, like they can make that. Like they just seal it on quick. You open it up. You know, you go like that, and you know you eat.
You just like a colorful spoon or something.
That needs to happen.
That needs to happen. That's our. McDowell's. I love that Arnold like is kind of like the kid in this scene because he's even I noticed that he's drinking milk and Danny DeVito's drinking beer, so that was just kind of a fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I have to see Twins again. Twins is always to me associated with Junior.
Yeah.
Is there another DeVito Schwarzenegger film? Or is just
there should be. They need to. Well, they're for a while they were thinking about making. Like Twins again, and Eddie Murphy was gonna be in it.
Really?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy was gonna be their long lost brother.
Oh, another
twin,
and Eddie Murphy was the third.
Yeah, triplets. I guess it was gonna be called triplets.
Triplets.
Yeah. Wow. This was perfect. Yep. This is a good random scene by.
Shh,
yeah.
Don't say it, because then people, you know, if you don't say it, people will think that you're just that good.
Yeah.
No.
But I'm not that good.
Serendipity. So there's a lightning round of things. Or?
I need to come up with better. Maybe we'll do that'll be a vote for. You guys can write down what you think I should call my segments. I don't have proper names for you because this is a speed round. When I say speed round, I just mean don't put a lot of like thought and you know.
Is this the speed round? Are we in it yet?
We're not in it.
Okay,
because
I did put a lot of thought.
But you know, not a lot of thought into the answers or just. you know, just quick
I can
responses.
Imagine the first
gut instinct.
I can imagine the first.
Maybe that's what should be called, because it's gut food instincts. Gut instincts.
Yeah, oh, duh. There you go.
There we go.
Write it down.
All gut right, guys, instinct. You don't have to, yeah, gut
foodie
instincts.
Foodie film history right here.
Yeah, gut instincts.
I was going to say, I can imagine the early episodes of The Price is Right and Bob Barker explaining things along to the guests, yeah. Like, you know. So I don't know what to call this segment, but we'll just, you know, guess the price.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And if The Price is Right. They didn't have a name for the yeah. show yet. It's just called, Gut Instincts.
It's gut check time.
Favorite fast food. Not McDowell's. So it has to be a real place.
Favorite fast food? Ugh, that's
establishment.
Tough. Yeah, no, I know that.
not Kesley. Chicken nugget.
I don't know. Wendy's of the regular ones. Because... I know we're not supposed to think too in-depth, but we're not counting, like, Five Guys and stuff like that. We're
no, just, like...
Like, the your basics.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know...
Maybe White Castle, I don't know.
Pizza
no,
Hut,
not really.
Domino's.
Yes, but no, I can't count the local pizza shop down the corner.
No.
You know, so... I'm going to say Wendy's, if I have to go to Wendy's. One. They give you, like, baked potatoes and stuff. And,
they do.
And chili. Like,
Do you dunk the fries into the Frosty?
Lactose intolerant again.
Oh, yeah.
I can't eat too much of the Frosty, unfortunately. But the Frosty is delicious.
Yeah,
the frosted dairy dessert.
That's the early sweet and savory. Like
yeah, for sure.
Combo too.
So I'll say Wendy's. I'm sure when this podcast ends, I'm gonna be like, no, Brian, it's really this one. But I'll say Wendy's.
You can answer for both beer or cocktail, but go to drink.
You know I'm really into sours, but if it's a beer, I'll always take a saison. A sour, and I do like Kolsch's, but I prefer like a cologne Kolsch, like an actual Kolsch. In terms of cocktail, Moscow Mule is my go-to. I was drinking them before they were cool. You know that.
In the copper.
In the copper.
How pissed off are you when there's not a copper mule?
I get pretty pissed off.
Okay.
I forgive it if it's like a take on the Moscow Mule.
Yes.
It's something else, and that's fine.
But if you make a traditional Moscow Mule, it needs
I need that
to be.
Chilled copper mug. That's my go-to.
Favorite childhood snack.
Favorite childhood snack? So, lots of stuff. I think I'm going to go Eggo Minis. Remember Eggo Minis?
Yeah.
Let's put all kinds of stuff on that. Like, you know, well, not all kinds, but like syrup, obviously,
butter,
yogurt.
Yeah.
You know, all fun stuff. So, I'm going to go Eggo Minis.
Eggo Minis, nice.
The waffle's the size of your mouth.
Sweet or savory?
Savory. For sure, savory. Don't have a big sweet tooth.
Favorite food city? Domestic and foreign.
Favorite food city, domestic New Orleans, hands down. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Lots of great food cities. I'm not just saying that, but New Orleans, that's like a food world.
Yes.
It feels like it's not domestic because the food is so different and so amazing.
It has the most, in America, it has the most distinct cuisine.
For sure. I mean, there are tons of great food cities.
Yeah.
You know, just
plenty.
Miami, the Texas cities.
Austin, San Francisco, Chicago.
Yeah, sure. You know, yeah. Chicago, great food city.
Charleston.
Yes, but New Orleans, hands down, best food city in America.
Mm.
Again, New York, great food city too, but New Orleans.
Then. Yes.
That's it.
And then
foreign.
Foreign.
Foreign, favorite foreign food city. You know, I'm a big Spain guy.
Yes.
Love Spain. That's tough, though.
It is.
Which Spanish city? You're getting different things. I'm gonna go with San Sebastian.
Ooh.
In the Basque Country, because you get your pinchos, which are tapas,
mm-hmm.
but also some great Michelin-starred restaurants. It's a nice balance there, but I could have easily said Barcelona. I could have said Madrid. I could have said Seville. That foreign cuisine, so any city in Spain, but today I will say San Sebastian.
Then favorite cuisine, if that was kind of answered.
I think I said that. No, I didn't. I was just thinking it before. Favorite cuisine. Tough one. I mean, no, because I do like Dominican food.
Yes.
I like Mexican food. Cuban food, really, really love.
American Cuban food?
I've never been to Cuba, so I don't know.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So that to answer that question, yes, American Cuban food. Because my
or
country,
Cuban-American, I should say.
Cuban-American food, American-Cuban food, whatever.
Yeah.
That has to be there. If we want to go domestic foreign, then Cuban-American food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that Cuban bread. Anything you put on that Cuban bread is amazing. And as I mentioned, I love food from Spain. So those would be my two big ones. Though Mexican food, amazing.
Guilty pleasure food.
Guilty pleasure food. Huh. That's tough because I don't get guilty, you know?
Okay.
On a film set or anything like that, you know where to find me, at the craft table. I love snacks. I love snacks, you know? Guilty food, I mean, define a guilty pleasure food. Like, what do you mean?
I guess like Chef Boyardee.
I could see that, but not really. Like Chef Boyardee. So I'm kind of prone to migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Boyardee is one of my migraine triggers. Oh, despite me liking it. I think it's the high concentration of sodium. Yeah, exactly. Guilty pleasure food. I'm sure there's a
weird combinations. Maybe
you know, there's a million things. Yeah. I love condiments. If you want to count condiments, okay. I've been known to swig a condiment straight. Like
that's really funny because the next question literally is favorite condiment.
Ooh, tough. You know, I'm not gonna say ketchup because that's stupid. Yeah. But I'm not one of these people who is anti ketchup. No. I actually think ketchup is a great thing.
Do you like the T-shirt that says "I put ketchup on my ketchup"?
I mean, it's a creative T-shirt. Favorite condiment. That's tough because I could go like, oh yeah, I'm really smart and I'm putting this on. But that's a tough one. Is syrup even a condiment? Do you count syrup as a condiment?
Yeah.
It's
a breakfast.
Oh, topping and condiment. What's the difference?
I think solid versus liquid.
Yeah, right. That would be the difference.
Syrup, Hershey syrup, like a chocolate syrup is also a condiment.
I love hot sauce, but I'm not one of these hot sauce nuts who like are the hottest hot sauce.
Sriracha also.
Yeah, I don't need like the little sriracha keychain. That's not me. So favorite condiment? See, there's sauces too, and I don't know if that counts. Like marinara sauces. Love marinara sauce.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a condiment.
No, it's not a condiment. Yeah.
Like chimichurri sauce, like with like yuca fries, you know?
But like a chipotle mayo, that's a condiment.
Chipotle mayo might be there.
Yeah.
It might be chipotle mayo. Mayo in general is great.
Russian?
I do like Russian dressing. Isn't that a dressing?
Yeah.
Ah, this is a tough question, you know? Is dressing a condiment? Honey mustard, a lot of people are going to say ranch on this. Ranch is very popular.
Yeah.
Can't eat too much ranch, unfortunately, but I do love ranch. Mike, our friend Michael, said barbecue sauce. Whew, that's tough. I have to look in my fridge. But I'm going to say chipotle mayo.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a sauce. Never mind.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite sauce?
The sauce and the patatas bravas.
Yeah.
You know, brava sauce.
Yeah.
That has to be... That's definitely my top five sauces.
You know, I
like aioli, too. We were talking about mayos. I love marinara sauce. If you want to tell me like a peasant sauce... That's amazing. I could drink marinara sauce straight.
In a past life, I was a saucier in San Antonio.
So, okay. So then if we're going to say that brava sauce, just count it. Okay.
Okay. Prior to the Big Mac last meal. The last thing you ate. I'm sorry.
The last thing I ate. Yesterday, I was at a friend's house, and they grilled some eggplant on the grill. And that was pretty good, but also some very good sausages. Delicious, you know. I don't even know what kind of sausage it was, but that's the last meal I ate. Besides, for the Big Mac.
Yes. And so then what would be your last meal?
The person my mother is seeing, that's like his go-to question when he like meets when he meets like a new person. And
I'll have to have him on.
I always struggle with thinking of what my last meal would be. Because I get too, like, practical. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be, you know, hanged right there.
Yeah.
Like a cake with a file in it or something. You know, to try to escape prison. But my last meal, I guess an assortment of Spanish tapas would be nice.
Yeah.
I almost think, like, if I'm in prison in Italy, what would my last meal be there? You know, I like a good manicotti, maybe, but assortment of tapas, like, and traditional tapas.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to be worried about being uncomfortable from a lot of cheese afterwards, right?
Very true. I would probably have a lot of cheese.
A lot of cheese,
You know, one of my favorite foods, oysters.
Oh.
I would have a tray of all different kinds of oysters.
Maybe some fried oysters with a good Parmesan on top.
Yes.
Right?
The fried oysters from, what's the place in New
Acme?
Orleans? Acme.
Yeah.
That'll definitely be on there. But also raw oysters. You know, I outshucked you and everyone else this weekend.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
You know, we'll have to post that video.
Fine, yes. Post the video of how good of a shucker I am.
Yes. Eat in or eat out? The look you gave me was great.
Oh, food. Okay.
Oh, food.
Eat in or eat out?
Yeah.
Eat out. Honestly, yeah. I wish I was a good enough cook where I could say eat in.
I saw some. Maybe we'll put. You've made some Dominican breakfast, right?
Yes.
Breakfast?
I love Dominican breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, but eat out. I can admit other people do it better than me. Plus, I don't like. I live in an apartment. I don't have a dining room.
Yeah.
So, like, it's me eating on the couch.
Spirit food.
spirit food.
Yeah, we're getting agey with this. We're getting like
new age spirit food. Like, what food most represents me?
Yes,
I think another person should call that, not me. What spirit food?
Like, for me, I would say like an artisanal sandwich. Like, I'm fancy, but I'm for everybody.
What would you say? What would you say for me then?
I would. Like, I'm not saying this because you just like mentioned this as a food, but I would say oysters up there.
Oysters, so I'm an aphrodisiac.
You're tough to crack.
Tough to crack. Wow.
Yeah, but once. Yeah.
But also a natural aphrodisiac. Once you get to know me,
and you just and you need to be like chewed, not just slurped down.
Fair. I don't know. Not everyone likes me.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like my consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get into me, you can't get enough of me. I don't know. Whatever.
Don't eat oysters after you're out in the sun too long.
Yes.
Oysters.
Long Island baymen reach into the the shallow waters and catch me. You know, no, I don't know.
And then this is
I clean up water.
This one can be a longer answered question, and this is the end of the. Gut instincts. Greatest lesson you've learned in food?
Easy one, and I'm going to say this again if we do our other project, but something my father taught me. And it's true in life as it is at weddings. Eat everything you can at the cocktail hour because you don't know what the dinner is going to be like.
That's the best.
So true. I mean... we've only been at one cocktail hour together, but both you and I know that is such... I mean, cocktail hours are the best.
The next one we'll be at, I'll be a best man of a wedding.
So you might not get as much cocktail hour. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna... as a, like, the third in command of that wedding.
Maybe. At least, I don't know who's third in command, because I guess father of the bride usually gets it.
Yeah, the one that's also helping finance. No, but then I'll just bop him over the head or something. I don't know. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on. That's obviously this means a lot as being, you know, old friends and former podcast, you know, co-hosts. And
this is like Simon and Garfunkel reuniting in Central Park to save something. I don't know.
Who's who?
I don't know, because it's offensive if one of us... Obviously, the better person has to be Paul Simon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, come on, Paul Simon had a career, no offense, Art Garfunkel. He didn't know, everyone knows he's the Oates, as much as I love Oates.
Yeah. I'd say I'm the Garfunkel then.
No.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I always say this, when I get a haircut, I always transform from Garfunkel into Simon.
To Simon.
Because I do get the Garfunkel hair, and then I have to Simon it up. But regardless.
Regardless.
Sorry, I ruined your special moment.
No. That made it more special. Where can people... We've mentioned your podcast, which is High School Slumber Party. And that's obviously on cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. But tell people a little bit more about it and what you've done.
So High School Slumber Party.
Yeah.
It's silly name, but it's a fun podcast. I mean, I have fun doing it. We just do high school films, and not films that I saw as a high schooler, as one person thought recently, but films that take place in high school. High school was an awkward time for a lot of people, and if it wasn't an awkward time for you and you peaked in high school, then probably sorry now.
Yes.
But and there's just so many great films and so many genres we explore.
Yeah.
And as you know, we also go into our guests' high school experience, similar to this show, going into the food experience. And it's always fun to see how people were in high school and how people are today. I'm having a blast doing that. And that show comes out on cageclub.me and iTunes and all the other places you can get podcasts, but every Friday.
I love your format. You're having so much fun with it, and you're putting a lot of, like, quick clips into it and a lot of pop culture references. It's what I mean most of our conversations are anyway, and
it's very different than if you guys are used to hearing us on PSA Love Hoffman. It's very different in a sense that PSA Love Hoffman, what's the opposite of stylized?
Bland?
No. I mean, like, it was very natural in terms of just me and you talking, you know.
Yeah.
High School Slumber Party is very stylized.
Yes.
And that's not a plus or a minus. It's just very It's just different in that respect, because I feel like the subject matter is less serious more often than not.
Well, yeah, it definitely gets to cover that many more genres.
Yeah, I'm a grown man talking about high school.
Yeah. You
know? It's definitely not a highbrow podcast, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of fun. You're on a bunch of episodes. Like I mentioned, you were on the first episode with Mike Manzi.
Yeah, two episodes so far. We were split into two parts. So.
Yes, because we talk for way too long. As you guys still with us can tell.
Yes. No,
and American Pie as well. That was a fun one. But and you'll be on again for a bunch of other stuff. And we're very different in that respect. Or I don't necessarily want you guys to follow me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. You can if you want to, but it's going to be...
Well, follow the podcast.
Follow the podcast, exactly. The podcast. High School Slumber Party, HS Slumber Party. Just look for us on all social media platforms, not MySpace or Tinder or anything like that, but Facebook, Instagram, yes. Twitter.
Twitter. So it's HS Slumber Party for all of that?
I think I think it's at HS Slumber Party, but if you type in High School Slumber Party, you'll get there too. It's not like it's a common name or anything. And it's High School Slumber Party on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's either HS Slumber Party or High School Slumber Party, but you'll see it there. And I also post a lot of cool things about high school films, because they're still making high school films. This is not going to be a podcast that I'm going to cover every high school film, because that'll be impossible. I'll be doing this the rest of my life, because every year they come out with not 52 high school films, but at least 10 or 15.
Yeah.
Especially with Netflix now.
Oh, yeah, now with all those, with Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and...
Exactly, yeah. So... There's not too many food high school crossovers. Like you said, there's scenes, but it's not like cooking high school or something, you know?
Yeah.
There might be one that I stumble upon eventually where we could do a crossover, but I really...
Like a high schooler that likes to cook.
Yeah, or like a high schooler.
It should be a baking class.
Yeah, maybe. Like I was going to say like a home ec class and like that's the plot of it all. Yeah. Or like a bake sale movie. I don't know.
I joined Italian Club because of Mary Kohlmeier in high school. I'm sorry.
Wow, your name dropping.
I should have said that on High School Slumber, the next High School Slumber Party. But it was mostly the Italian Club was like Italian class students, but I was taking Spanish class. And so then the Italian teacher was like, why do you want to join? I'm like, oh, I want to feel closer to my Italian grandmother. But I wanted to feel closer to Mary Kohlmeier. And we made cannolis together one time. The end. Thank you guys for tuning in, and you can find us again on cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Foodie Films Podcast on Instagram, Twitter handle @foodie_films. Someone already had Foodie Films. Is
there really?
One? Yeah.
So there was another Foodie Films?
Like not a podcast, but someone has Foodie Films, as like their...
Huh.
Instagram name. So again, the Instagram is Foodie Film Podcast. Twitter is foodie_films. And then iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that good stuff. And Brian, we took us a little while to figure out a closing, but I liked it so much for P.S. I Love Hoffman with the Stay On Cool. And this, again, I'm not smart. I'm not trying to. I don't bring up things to pay off again. But this is something that my Italian grandmother says a lot when she makes a meal. And she says there's more to cut. And I feel like that's just like a great, almost like life lesson. That would be one of maybe my answer. The greatest lesson you've learned in food. There's more to cut. So, Brian, if you could say that for the foodie fans out there.
Really quickly, have you seen this show Mo Rocca does, his cooking show?
I still need to see.
One of my favorite shows of all time. What is it? My grandmother's Ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good show. Again, you need to see that show. But you saying that reminds me of that, because that's how he kind of ends his show.
Oh, all right. So, well, I haven't seen it, so I definitely haven't.
So what's the line again?
There's more to cut.
There's more to cut. I just say?
Yeah, just however you want to say it. You want to say it like...
No, I'm not
going to... Jealous!
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it like your Italian grandmother, and I'm not... I don't know. You know, I'm not going to insult your Italian grandmother, but there's more to cut.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay on cool, Hoffman.
Stay on cool.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet thing, good enough to eat.